podcasts, and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Michael Gelb. We're talking about the benefits of walking. And one of the things that you mentioned in the book, you suggest that we do animal imagery, that we add that to our walking. So what is that? How do we do that? And what are you suggesting there? And how does it benefit us?
Well, in so many ways. But let's start with the simplest and the number one animal to inspire us to walk well. And that is, of course, the bear. So bears and humans are plantigrades, which means our natural walk involves the whole sole of our foot. As opposed to your cat or your dog or a horse or a deer, they are digitigrades. They effectively walk on their toes or hooves or paws, but not on the whole sole of their feet. So humans and bears are designed to roll along and luxuriate the whole sole of the foot along the ground, just like if you ever have peeled the peel off a banana slowly. That's how a bear moves along the ground, and that's how we're designed to move along the ground. Plus,
you know, Michael, I want to interrupt for just a second, because I want to say this reminds me of a wonderful poem by Mary Oliver, and it's called Spring. And just the first two standards of or this poem, you may remember it. She says, somewhere a black bear has just risen from sleep and is staring down the mountain all night in the brisk and shallow restlessness of early spring. And here's the point. I think of her, she writes, I think of her, her four black fists flicking gravel. That little stanza really, really grabs me. I remember it when I read your book and I was thinking of the bear. Yeah, the bear flicking gravel.
Well, Mary Oliver got a lot of her ideas for poems when she was out for walks.
Exactly. Exactly. And
it's really worth actually just watching bears walk.
Yeah.
You can do it now. Obviously, everybody can do that. We have illustrations on our walking website, which people have access to when they get the book. It's so inspiring. There's nothing more comfortable looking on earth than a bear. They're just the happiest, most comfortable. They're so naturally, fully, easily themselves.
And graceful.
Amazingly, the combination of relaxed power. I mean, you know, a bear, they can reach in and they can pick one little berry off a bush, but they could also just go like this and kill an elk.
Just swipe.
Take a swipe. Boom. I mean, the power, the speed, they can get up 40 miles an hour, and they can go for hours and hours and hours. By the way, they also love to make love for hours and hours.
Oh. Lovely. Yeah, love it.
You know, and they're just not afraid of anything. They're Winnie the Pooh. They're part of our human archetypal family. But what we do is help you develop this more biomechanical direct relationship to what the bear is teaching us, and how we can move with that degree of comfort and that degree of ease. So we start with the bear.
Exactly. And I know that another animal that you mentioned is the crane, is another one that you mentioned that we might think about. And I want to share one of my most favorite of all poems. I read this first in the New Yorker. And it's called Blue Heron Walking by Julie Bruck, B-R-U-C-K, Julie Bruck. And I want to read it because it just strikes me as this is what we're talking about. She writes, "Not one of Mr. Balanchine's soloists had feet this articulate, the long bones explicitly spread, then retracted, even more finely detailed than Leonardo's plans for his flying machines."
Wow.
"And all this is for a stroll, a secondary function, not the great dramatic spread and shadow of those pterodactyl wings. This walking seems determined less by bird volition or calculations of the small yellow eye that is by an accident of breeze pushing the bird on a diagonal. The great feet executing their tendus and lifts in the slowest of increments, hesitation made exquisitely dimensional." And I pause here because, you know, if we've ever seen a heron standing in water and they're looking for fish, and we see them just slowly, slowly pick up one foot and lift it very slowly and then place it in front of them in the water. The poem goes on, "As if the feet thought themselves through each minute contribution to propulsion, these outside apprehenders of grasses and stone, snatchers of mouse and vole, these mindless magnificence that any time now will trail their risen bird like useless bits of leather." And then she ends the poem with this, and I love this, and you will too, Michael. "Don't show me your soul," Balanchine used to say. "I want to see your foot." And it wasn't that brilliant, just brilliant, just talking about that articulation of the foot. And that's what you're talking about, that picking up, in the bear, it's the picking up of the foot, the relaxing of the ankle, the setting it down, letting the earth support us, pushing off on the earth, peeling. You talk about peeling it, peeling off the earth.
We just have to discuss the Blue Heron poem a little bit more, because
it's
just so perfect that you chose that. One of my primary teachers is the Blue Heron that lives in the pond system here in our community. There's a few of them. So when I see the Blue Heron, when I'm out for my walk, which I do two or three times a day, and when I see the Blue Heron, if my time allows me, I do my standing meditation with the Blue Heron. And what I do is I make this deal that I'm not moving till the Blue Heron moves. So I've gotten lessons in stillness and lessons in balance, lessons in alertness and amazing freedom. So yeah, the Blue Heron energy is in the book.
Yes.
And in really practical, simple terms, one of the exercises we ask everybody to do is balance on one leg every day, on both legs, because here's a simple truth. Your walk, healthy walking, you're balancing on one leg 40% of the time. So most people's gait gets less steady as they get older, and then they need a walker, and then they fall down and break their hip, and then they die. So right now, whatever age you are, you want to be strengthening your ability to balance on one leg. So, you know, put a hand on the wall or on your desk and start easy. If you can't balance on one leg, you can just lift up and just balance on a toe until you can lift off a little bit. And then work your way up to 5 seconds, 10 seconds. Work your way up to a minute on one leg with each leg. Do that every day. And that is one of the simplest, most practical things that everybody can do to make sure they walk well as they get older. Because if you don't do that, chances are your walking steadiness will decline. And we know that a decline in walking steadiness sadly correlates significantly with all-cause mortality.
That's so true. The people I know who are aging, the worst thing that happens is they fall, and then it creates all sorts of other complications. Hey, that's a very simple thing, but it's really, I think, such great, great advice. And I know that you also talk about the 7 habits of highly creative walkers. We've heard the 7 habits of creative thinkers, but here we are, walkers. And Michael, I loved it that there are 2 things that you mentioned in those 7 habits. And one is taking yourself lightly and taking improv classes, which you state it helps us to manage uncertainty. Oh, I love that. Okay, that's really important in these times, in these uncertain times. So tell me, why do you suggest improv classes?
Well, life is an improv.
Well, you're right.
It's either a tragic one or a playful, joyful one. And if you expect everything to work out the way you expect it to work out, you will suffer.
Yes.
If you think you can control everything that happens, and if you react to whatever happens by getting triggered, by going into your fear response, by going into unconsciousness.
Right.
This is the work. This is it. It's to wake up in response to whatever stimulus comes your way, because you can't always control what comes your way. But you do have some agency when it comes to how you respond to it. And improv classes are the most delightful, fun, playful way to learn how to be free in your choice of response to whatever comes your way.
I love it that you, throughout our conversation, you have emphasized fun and delight. And that's a great motivator to remember that life is not some sort of galactic penal colony. It's here for maybe fun. I'm here with Michael Gelb, and he is the co-author with Bruce Furtman of Walking Well, A New Approach for Comfort, Vitality, and Inspiration in Every Step. His website is michaelgelb.com. Spells his last name G-E-L-B, michaelgelb.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. Here with Dr. Michael Gelb, and we're talking about inspired walking, and that we can all do it. We really can participate in this. This is available. We don't need any contraptions to do this, only our own body. I wanted to talk about, there's transportational walking, but then there's transformational walking. And, you know, maybe walking as a spiritual practice. You may not know this, Michael, but I know that you are aware of the spiritual practice of the Camino Trail in Spain. And in fact, New Dimensions, we've done an interview on that. But I've just recently come across something I'm very excited about. And this is called the Abraham Path Initiative. And this is a pilgrimage through the Middle East. And it's divided into some segments. I'm very excited about this. There's one in my own community. It's called the Sonoma Path. And it takes us from inland all the way out to the coast. Right here, there's a pilgrimage path. And probably in your community, there's one. So talk about this spiritual walking.
Transportational walking is walking into your kitchen, walking to the supermarket, walking into your office. And transformational walking is a walking meditation or a pilgrimage or walking for health and wellness and so on. But Bruce and I, our ideas, no separation between them. That every walk is a sacred pilgrimage. Getting up in the middle of the night and walking to the bathroom I'm actually really serious. Writing this book and folks, this has changed my life and Bruce too, and many of the people we've shared this with. It just changed. Like, every step is sacred. So yes, the Camino Trail, one of the contributors to the book, Elizabeth Lesser, who's the co-founder of the Omega Institute, a wonderful visionary. She went off on the Camino Trail as a sacred pilgrimage. And then she shared with us how she aimed to take that sense of the sacred back into her daily walks. That she, you know, she doesn't do 20 miles every day like she was doing in Spain, but in her 2-3-4 mile walks to bring the same sense of reverence and sacredness. One of my wonderful clients just took off for the Santiago de Compostela sacred pilgrimage trail, and he heard about the book and he called me up and asked me if I could help him get off on the right foot.
That's great metaphor, off on the right foot.
Yeah, exactly. So part of our real passion is, yes, it's a great idea, go on these sacred walks, go, you know, walk the labyrinth with Lauren Artress, for example. Go to whatever pilgrimage you're called to go to based on whatever your spiritual track, you know, walk Mount Kaila, whatever it is. But our point is bring that quality to every step you take, because it will enrich your life. It will empower you. It will awaken you. It will heal you. And it's available.
Michael, you talk, you write about and remind us that one of the things we can do is we're walking through our day in, and even in our homes or our apartments, every day we're walking through some portal, some doorway, some threshold. I recently saw some film and there was a Jewish man and some Orthodox rabbi that was walking through his apartment, and every doorway he went through, he tapped this mezuzah, I think it's called, that was right by each doorway. Every time he walked through the doorway, he tapped that sacred symbol. And that's what you're talking about. You're talking about being conscious of something as we walk through our apartments and our homes.
Exactly right. Because it's just like, you know, if your spiritual life is limited to when you go to church on Sunday or synagogue on Friday or Saturday or your Buddhist temple or your Taoist temple or your mosque, but it isn't integrated into your life, something's missing. And what Bruce and I both realized is that is what we talked about right in the beginning. How do you walk through your life? The way you, what you, the presence you bring to your walk, the consciousness you bring, it's just a very simple way to choose awakening and loving kindness and compassion and connection, literally with every step we take.
You also talk about walking with others. And, you know, there are ways that we can do a walking group or walk with an individual. And so what's your advice about walking with others, even our dogs?
Yes. Well, so Bruce and I are going to launch a Walking Well group leader certification program. In order, because people have all kinds of walking clubs for seniors, for women, for book conversations, for philosophy, for rucking, for serious hiking, for all kinds of wonderful themes that people bring to their walking. And what we want them to do is be able to walk well when they're enjoying whatever their theme happens to be. So one of my themes, because a lot of what I do for a living is executive coaching and seminars for business clients and organizations and so on, I'm blessed to be a member of Marshall Goldsmith's MG100 Executive Coaching Group. So I thought, while I was doing the research for the book...
That's a big honor, too, I know.
Marshall's great. He's just... Yeah. He wrote us a beautiful endorsement for the book and just a beautiful human being. So I'm part of this network of the leading executive coaches in the world, and I reached out to a lot of them. And it was just so cool because they all said, oh, I do all my meetings walking. I start all my seminars by taking people for a walk. I mean, it's just one after the other after the other. Bev Kay, who's one of the pioneers in human resource consulting, she, for years, has taught her clients something she calls keep 'em walks. Keep 'em. If you want to keep your best employees, you go for a walk with them. Every now and then, just the two of you get out of the office and go for a walk, because you'll bond with them, you'll connect with them, and then you'll keep them. You won't lose that very valuable employee. You know, very practical stuff here. Steve Rogelberg, who's a professor at the University of North Carolina, he's probably the world's leading expert on meetings. So he's in MG100. I reach out to him. He's very gracious. He says, I do all my meetings walking whenever I can. He says, even if it's on the phone, I'm on the phone, they're on the phone. Let's each go for a walk on the phone because we think better, we connect better, and obviously, if possible, we want to walk together in person. There's, you know, some examples where it's not appropriate, where we need lots of data and flip charts and PowerPoints and so on. But whenever possible, pretty much all of my MG100 colleagues just were enthusiastic about how important walking is to them personally and how much of a role it plays in their work as executive coaches.
I know you mentioned in the book there was one business leader who would do a seminar, and probably you do this too, that he would start it in not everybody sitting in chairs, but he'd pair them off and he'd say, now you go for a walk with this person, and here are some questions you should discover about each other. And at the end, that's the part of the seminar that they most remember.
That's Todd Churches, who wrote this brilliant book called Visual Leadership. And Leonora Williamson was another one of the ones we talked. She's an expert in negotiation and conflict management. Mark C. Thompson vies with Peter Bregman for being right up there with Marshall Goldsmith in terms of just how in demand they are for, you know, CEOs.
Yes.
Billion-dollar companies want these people as coaches. And they all just enthused to me about how much walking is important to them for their own process, but also in their work with their clients.
And for personal creativity, as we said earlier, you know, take that little notebook with you. Just let your mind just be a wanderer and just let the images come. Write them down. Make a mind map.
Well, I humbly propose that when people read Chapter 7 about the beginning of Walking for Inspiration, where, and I had to edit this down.
Yeah.
I'll take you through the role that walking plays in the inspirational process of geniuses from human history, from all walks of life.
Exactly. So I can encourage people, pick up the book, take it with you walking. I've been speaking with Dr. Michael Gelb. He's the co-author with Bruce Fertman of Walking Well, A New Approach for Comfort, Vitality, and Inspiration in Every Step. And if you'd like to know more about his work and also many references from the book, you can see on his website, Michael Gelb, spelled G-E-L-B, michaelgelb.com. Or you can get there through newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3826.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over four decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hello, I'm Mirabai Starr, author of Ordinary Mysticism. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about your life as sacred ground.
CJSF 90.1 FM wishes you a bright winter solstice.
Did you know that community radio stations in Canada broadcast in more than 65 different languages? This is where stories come alive and where we come together. But as big international media dominates the spotlight, local news and local voices struggle to be heard. Our government must help these local stations continue to do what they do best, serve the unique needs of our communities. We're asking you to go support the Community Radio Initiative at mycri.ca. Stand with us for community radio future.